Hello and welcome to LeisureCast. My name is Brian Krogsgaard. I'm here with Josh Ulsewicz. It's true, you can only see my face right now. That's okay. What's wrong with my face?
What is there to see on my face anyway, you know?
You'll see Josh's beautiful, beautiful face in just a minute. You don't need that right now. You just need me. You need to hear about me, because that's what I asked you to hear. I don't know what I'm even saying. Josh, how are you today?
Should we even start over? Is this good?
No, we're not starting over, because I want to tell the people about token sets.
Okay.
They need to go to ledgerstatus.com/sets. It's simplified asset management. I use token sets, trusted by the DeFi Pulse Index as well, a DeFi index. And actually, some folks just launched a thing called the Flexible Leverage Index, also using token sets, which I thought was cool. This isn't my advocacy for anyone buying or selling or whatever, but it's a collaboration with the same folks behind the DeFi Pulse Index, Pulse Inc., and actually integrates leverage into token sets, which is really cool. You can read all about it on a Medium post. I'll put that in the thing by the Index Co-op, and then go to ledgerstatus.com/sets to learn more about token sets. It's very neat. We're happy to have them on board.
Yes, I just wished the ETH network was a little more cheaper.
Yeah, your beef is purely with ETH network as a set manager, but you know what? The users of token sets get the glory of the manager paying for that. Oh my gosh, I've been showing the video the whole time.
It's not just token sets though. It's everything. Like, I was trying to mess around with 1inch and like adding liquidity and stuff. And it's like $1,000 to add liquidity to like some 1inch ETH pool and then pool it. You know, people who know will know what I'm talking about, but it's just
those who know.
I said to somebody earlier this week, I said, unless you got 50 grand to toss into this stuff, it's so not worth it, you know?
It depends on where you're, it depends on what you're putting in, how you're doing it.
It just isn't worth it. It takes so long to recoup the initial cost to actually connect to all this stuff, right? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but you're basically giving the advocacy in this statement for why using something like token sets makes sense. Because if you're a user, it's like massively advantageous. You know what I mean?
Yes, because the fees are passed from user to manager.
Correct.
But the fees don't just disappear, you know?
No, they don't disappear. They just go to the manager. But as a user, it's the more affordable way to have a broad exposure to the market. Yeah.
That's fair. I just wish...
You just don't like Ethereum because it's high fees.
You know, I love Ethereum. What I don't love is fees paying on taxes. Ethereum. And this is taxes of poor planning, scalability.
It's network taxes.
Garbage is what this is. They've had, 17 years to figure this out? Give me a break.
Anyway. Yeah, but that's Ethereum. And guess what? Layer 2 is on the way. You gave these excuses for Bitcoin for years.
Yeah, and it fixed the issue. Like, what else is there to say?
Yeah.
We had the issue. We had the debate.
Trog in the chat said the Uni airdrop basically covered a lifetime of fees. It's not a bad point. Not a bad point. If you got the Uni airdrop, you're doing okay.
Anyway.
Nevertheless, we can complain about fees or we can talk about markets. I guess they're related to some degree, right?
Oh, for sure. Look at this ETH chart. Look at this epic chop we've had on ETH. The volatility has to be quite low. I should pull up ETH fall. I think going long volatility, I saw somebody else say this week, but I was thinking it as well. Just being long volatility, because this looks like it could be 10,000 different things right now.
Yeah.
Depending on what you want to see.
With ETH or both? Because it looks, looks ready for some volatility on both pairs, ETH and US and BTC to me.
ETH looks like it's going to move soon. BTC, I like higher highs on BTC more so than ETH. This to me looks like a standard cup and handle.
Yeah.
Looks like we're ready for party, all-time high, retest, and then some.
Yeah, it was actually, it was worrying at first because it broke down, but the breakdown wasn't significant and it kind of turned it into a cup and handle-ish type of thing. Like, if it was going to be a failed breakout, it would have failed by now in my mind.
Yeah, as long as it holds the 50%. retracement of the high to low. It's good. And I think on the low time frames, it had this, we keep drawing these inverted head and shoulders fractals. They're not always perfect, but they're definitely you know, whatever. You know,
I like the big one. Nobody, look, I like that big 4-hour.
Listen, I'm talking here. Nobody asked you. Okay. 4-hour TK recross is coming above the cloud soon. So,
which is always
bullish,
but also has a very high hit rate.
Yes. And I've been asked in the comments of YouTube. Thank you for watching on YouTube. People who watch on YouTube, that we need to be more descriptive in our visuals for people who are just listening.
Oh,
so we need to be better. We will be better
today. A TK recross. Oh, I see what you mean. A TK recross is where, following a cloud strategy, the fast moving average, the Tinkin, crosses back above the slow moving average, the Kishin, and it's like a moving average crossover strategy, but within the Ichimoku cloud system, basically. And it basically told you it flipped down, but then flipped back up. So it's like it failed to be bearish.
Right. And I get more confidence that we are ready to go up when we crisscross like this versus just like waiting for something to happen, hoping that it goes up. I would much rather see, this is a venue chart, you know, we can look at Aave or whatever in a second, but would much rather see that cross down and then up again. ETH, same thing. It crossed down on the 4-hour. It may cross up again over the next few days if we make higher highs. But you don't need to know the cloud to know, like, if we make higher highs on a 2% range, like, it's probably going to go higher, right? Like, realistically, you don't really need to know that.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of things that are very visual, look at this. I brought a lightsaber today. So... okay. It's just something that we're going to play with during the show. You need to know it. The stand broke from my light, so now I just have a lightsaber. So, valuable, come at me.
Valuable information.
Here you go. Screenshot this. There you go. How about that, Josh? How about that for podcast content?
Yeah, the people who are listeners are going to really love that.
They're going to really love it. They said make it green. All right. No, I can't make it green. Sorry, guys. Top things. Josh, what else do you think about the Bitcoin chart while I make this green?
Sure. So BTC looks good on the 4-hour. It looks good on the daily. Somebody was asking about bear divs on the daily. We definitely have this like continuous bearish divergence on the way up here. It's on MACD. It's on RSI. It's probably on volume as well. And it's definitely not concerning. So you definitely want, like, on this next high, we definitely need some volume on this. Otherwise, it's just going to collapse on itself. The other concern I have with this structure is rising wedge, potentially. We talked about that last week, I think.
Yeah, it's so weird because if you look at, like, monthly time frames, we're just straight up, right?
Yeah.
But when you get to 4-hour... type time frames, it's like each push is a grind now. You know, we had this tiny little push of a new high,
and that's okay, that's natural. I mean, we've had how many months in a row that we're green?
So what do you think the likelihood is that we have a whole month that's red?
I don't know. I mean, it's like we can't make a red candle if we try.
Oh boy, that's a top thing.
Even if we retrace on the previous month, we're closing above the wick of the previous month, which is incredibly bullish. I mean, obviously, there's however many days left in March, but we're currently above last month's wick. So you can't not be bullish on that. Like, you just don't see this in a bear market or a reversal. Like, if this was a reversal, you'd be looking for a tweezer top. You'd be looking for a shooting star. You'd be looking for something that says there's a weakness here, but every time we try to break down, we just don't, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, we're a million miles away from the 200-day moving average.
Yeah, we need some mean reversion for sure. Like, I just moved your 200-day, but I have my 200-week up, right? Is that the 200-week is moving up rapidly. It's at 10K now.
Yeah, we can look at that on the...
The 200-week, for people's reference, is my, like, bear market, dead bottom. It takes a long time to get there. Like, if you look at the last bear market, we were in the bear market for, like, a year before it capitulated down to it. But this is starts to be interesting to say, like, what could be our bottom of a next long, like, large time frame bear market, you know?
Sure. But that's not a top. That's a bottom. What do I care about bottoms right now?
No, you don't. I'm just saying it's interesting to see where the macro bear floor could move to.
Yes, I guess. Sure.
And start to see the slope of the 200 is another interesting thing to watch.
Yeah, like, this is...
Like, the how vertical is the 200 week, you know?
Right.
Because it's...
I don't know if you have my screen up or
not. I do, I have yours.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking to Bitcoin.com. They have the heat map of the speed of the 200 week. And it's definitely increasing, like you're visually noticing. And it's increasing on an objective measured sort of way as well. So we keep getting closer to the top. People talk about... I've seen insane targets. Let me find this tweet about S2F and 2013. But I've seen targets of 600K floating around now.
For this immediate cycle or like this year?
Yeah. This cycle.
So are you a believer in the super cycle, Josh?
I'm a believer when I see it. I'm just following the data and it says we're...
The data says we're not overheated, but we're revving up. We're revved up.
Yeah, and I saw some other comment about we're only X months into the bull market rally, and I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like we're closer to the end than the beginning, right? Am I wrong here?
Yeah. I mean, it's not the beginning of a bull market, that's for sure.
No. But
you can't go 10X in a year and be at the beginning of a bull market.
I agree.
Sig8 in the chat said that Jason from Telegram's 800K Q4 target haunts me, and I think he means because he would have sold all his Bitcoin, and I will concur. I won't own much crypto if it's 800K in the Q4.
Well, this is why you never sell anything. I mean, I didn't sell anything in 2017 because I was afraid of taxes and didn't know anything about anything at that point in time. But
you don't have a number where you sell some.
I have a number where I'm going to sell some, and that's based off the data. I'm never going to sell everything.
Why would you sell everything? Like, you don't have a number where you go all out.
No. You can't, right? Like, why would you? Who has a number that they go all out on? Seven figures? Sure. You know, at seven figure a coin, you can have them.
Yeah. I just, when I think of what that means on a chart, like on a log basis, weekly chart, the degree of vertical you have to go into multi six figure Bitcoin to do it this year, it's like there's no room for consolidation at all, you know?
Yeah. That's why I like that we're grinding and going slow. That's best case. But it still looks bullish on technicals. It looks bullish on fundamentals. It looks bullish on any way I can slice it. We haven't breached above the 2-year MA multiplier yet, which is currently at 67K. We're just kind of chilling at just below the ceiling where things get super overheated. So I am optimistic that this is going to keep going. I'm not optimistic we're going to go mid six figures this year. I can't imagine what would happen. Like, what would it take to get us there, you know?
Something severe.
That's like it'd be like a true once in a lifetime sort of wealth transfer, you know, like the maxis like to talk about. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. Some black swan that gets us there.
A black swan.
But yeah, the two year MA looks good. And as far as like buying the 2-year MA, it's all the way up at 13.4 right now, which is an all time high for the 2-year MA. So anything below that is a strong, strong buy. The 200 week is at 10K, all time high for the 200 week. Stock to flow has us still outperforming stock to flow. Sometime in May, it is like 82, 83 as far as the target.
Yeah.
Based on the model.
Somebody asked if we ever look at price relative to like money supply, like M2 money supply. It still looks pretty much the same as it does on versus USD. It's just not as severely broken out of the all-time high. So like the all-time high was a 1.34 ratio, and now we're at a 3.02 ratio. If you look at Bitcoin relative to money supply, If you look at money supply by itself, it's just like mad up, right? But on a relative basis, it's not like Bitcoin's still outperforming significantly.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that we will still continue to do well. It's just at some point, reality kicks in, people start taking profit, right?
Yeah.
Even if they're afraid to sit in cash, at some point, everybody's got a number, like we've already talked about.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mountain Drew has a good point here that the best macro indicator for bear market will be that good news does nothing and bad news dumps. And I think that's actually that's a good sign that it has flipped, not of that it's going to flip. But yeah, if your good news stops doing anything, it's a decent. There are some interesting macro divergences that you can learn from those types of like news responses.
Yeah, it was like 2018 when, or 2019 when price was at like 3K and we got some bad news and nothing happened. You know, it's like
the sellers were exhausted. They were done.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what that news was, but it was probably something dumb ETF related or something. Like
something to do with Asia, probably.
Yeah. Somebody. Yeah. For sure. What are we looking at here on your screen?
So this was the S2F model. If you look at, I can pull up the Ecoinometrics thing as well. It has it visually as far as the possibilities. but it's basically looking at all of the previous bull cycles and comparing that to the price deviation of the S2F model. And like looking at if we see a 2013 rally, we can get to 585K or 650, like somewhere between there, you know, so it looks at all the previous models. A better visual representation of this is this guy, Ecoinometrics. Give him a follow on Twitter for sure. Why is it doing that? Sorry.
That's there okay. We go. This is a fun one. So this is a chart of Bitcoin after like post halving effects.
Right, post halving, and it maps out this this possibility range of the previous price action and where we were at what time point and where we could be in future time points relative to halving. So even this is saying that 387 is at the higher range of the highs, but not an impossibility.
That's crazy, man. Is there a time frame on that?
Yeah, May 12th.
Okay, well, that's insane.
Yeah.
I am not prepared for this type of price action. So how is this actually, what is this analyzing?
It's the growth range of defined by previous halvings.
Oh, okay. So if we have an equivalent move to previous halving pumps, this is where we could go.
Correct.
I know you said that before, it just had to click.
That's okay. Similar to S2F.
Yeah.
In some ways, different in others, but
I wonder, but this doesn't really take into account like lower volatility over time as the asset grows, like because it takes more money to make Bitcoin go up now than it did before.
Correct. Right. No, it doesn't account for that at all.
Yeah. But if we had an equivalent move, you could see six-figure Bitcoin in a short period of time.
Yeah, I think I think the upper bound is generous. I think everybody's looking at 100K at this point. As long as we're above 50, people are looking at 100K regardless.
And that's just, and as soon as it hits 100, they're already looking for 200. Like
That's
humans being humans. It's how cycles go, like get faster and faster, right, towards the end.
Yeah.
Because then as you start gapping those targets so severely, then you start hitting them quicker and then it ends up being the end because it's too vertical and it has to go down.
Right.
And someone asked like how do we the 2017 bubble, 10K was the 100K of 2017 and 10K breached and it was like a race to 20K. Literally like what it was it like a month and a half, Josh?
Yeah, it was like Thanksgiving to December, right?
Yeah. So, but
end of December.
Yeah. So 10K was the moon, and then it went to 20K like super quick, and the hype exploded in that time. Yada yada. And I could, that's what I could see with the 100K thing. I could see 100K to 200K being very similar. It's like, now we're six-figure Bitcoin and off we go.
Yeah, so...
super cycle confirmed. And then you know, you're in the last couple months at that point.
We get a lot of like related questions to this sort of thing, but it's like, save yourself from yourself. Don't use max leverage all the time in your entire position. Put some in cold storage. Never be afraid to take profit, but also at the same time, hold something for stuff like this, right? You know, a buy and hold from 10K is going to outperform most people's leverage trading.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? You know, just ignore it and go do something else. This was another one I really liked. I talk about this a lot, but this was a really good, like, simplified version. This is the HODL waves, or kind of the age of the coins that have moved. Mm-hmm. And it's looking at the previous four all-time highs and what the coin ages looked like. So in the previous four all-time highs, we had peaks where 50 to 60% of the supply was under 6 months old, which means
they've moved
within the past six months.
All supply, right? 50% of all supply.
All supply, correct.
When you consider the amount of coins that are lost or like are on just locked on exchange or like, you know, in some kind of cold storage, that's a lot of coins that move. That's a lot of people taking profit. And we're at 35.9% right now.
Yeah, so we are definitely doing what we should be doing as far as we rise. We see a rise in this. It's getting closer. It's not like as toppy as it could be. But again, like I think we're closer to the end than the beginning, right?
But you're not saying you're bearish. You're saying you're...
No.
You're acknowledging where you are, where you think you are in the game.
I'm just saying...
It's also worth acknowledging that like the greatest part of the gains could be at the end of the game.
Oh yeah, I think price is actually irrelevant here. To me, what's more important is watching stuff like this, where it's like, okay, what percentage of the coin move? Coins moved in the past 6 months.
Factor Mini says in the chat, over 11% of the supply is dead for 10 plus years. So
and this still factors that in because it includes everything.
Right. Yeah, it includes everything, but like when 50% moves, it's not like there's another 50% to move. Some of those are truly gone.
Right. So when there's a lot of churn on chain, basically we've probably topped out. It's holders selling is really what it represents.
Yeah. You have an item called Barry makes an appearance on what you want to talk about. Are we talking about the Barry?
Yeah, Barry Silbert. So he was like MIA for a long time on Twitter. He popped up after the GBTC premium went negative on Twitter. They announced five new trusts, including Chainlink and LivePeer.
Whatever that is.
And then he made some comment about there's too much money floating around. This is going to end badly when like his whole trusts rely on money floating around. It was a bit of a bizarre comment coming from him.
Gotcha.
Yeah, trust as well. So the GBTC premium is still negative, last I checked, as is ETHI. I can pull that up. Let me see where that is. It was like negative 10%.
It was a lot.
Excuse me.
I told several people, like, if you want to be in Bitcoin or Ethereum, just buy it on GBTC right now.
So people are wondering, like, how negative can this go? Can things blow up? We've talked about this for the past 2 weeks. Is Barry buying?
Barry said he's buying.
Buying this to, like, keep it afloat near parity? And then going to convert this to an ETF and make a ton of money there. You know, that a lot of people are talking about that sort of thing.
Barry said he's buying, though.
Yeah. So, you know, I think
it'll be protected.
I think people are assuming at this point that Barry is protecting the discount.
Yeah. And everybody involved, everybody who might be getting squeezed, they probably have enough money and liquidity to get out of it. I think it's probably going to end up like a failed attack on the premium, personally. Because it feels like it was targeted to me. That's just high speculation, but it feels like it was targeted. It's spicy, but I think it's going to end up being a nothing burger.
I think so too. We're seeing more and more ETFs. Another one in Canada or Latin America just got approved. BTC ETF. So the chips are stacking towards the increasing likelihood of an ETF, probably within the next 24 months, maybe even sooner.
Well, didn't we made some calls about this on the show, didn't we?
Did we give specific calls?
I said soon. I said Q2, didn't I? I think I said Q2. Yeah, I was having a very spicy day.
That's right. You did say Q2. Yeah.
And I said Q2. I made lots of calls. Don't fact check me on any of those. It's been a week. A lot of time to be wrong there. Yeah, but I still think I still think that the cards are pointing towards an ETF in the U.S. is inevitable. And once it becomes inevitable, it starts to be priced in anyway.
So the smooth brain play is just to buy this, like you're saying, because it's probably going to go to parity or above. And I don't disagree with that, certainly. Makes sense, right? Like, you got to hope it doesn't. Like, if GBTC explodes, we're going to have bigger problems than GBTC, right? We're going to have, like, BTC is going to explode if GBTC explodes. ETH is still at a discount, right? It's at, what is this? It's crazy that it went from positive, what, like 500%? No, almost 1,000% premium to negative 10, negative 5. Insane. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, it's wild. Friend in the chat, 0x4c, also said my other thing was talking about how 0x, or not 0x. Look, I'm speaking what I wish, not what is true. Litecoin would go to $700 was my... was my other thing. And I said it, you quoted me 2 weeks in a row saying there's no reason why someone should ever buy Litecoin, and then saying Litecoin looks good on all time frames in back-to-back weeks. The Litecoin Bitcoin chart, I can't believe it, Josh. I can't believe it. But the divergence grows, the dump continues. It does not look healthy.
It's almost like
the attempted move up is on the struggle bus at the moment.
That's when that's the best. You have to be the maximum struggle for this to do anything, right?
Yeah. The USD pair still looks good. The USD pair still looks good, but the BTC pair is in a scary place.
It has to look worse than it's ever looked. That's why I like buys at all-time lows. Like, that's where it wants to go, right?
Last time Litecoin really, really pumped, it like super capitulated right at the end, didn't it?
Yeah.
And it went down like 20% in a day or something. And it was like Litecoin is dead, and then it super mooned. So that would be like below 0.003.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bids at 0.029. Let's go.
This looks.
It's quite
the ugliest set of wicks and stuff on Coinbase ever, but yeah, it just got worse. This is seriously one of the ugliest charts I've ever seen in my entire life. Of like the Coinbase BTC LTC wicks, unreal.
Looks bad. Definitely. Most BTC charts too.
Speaking of Coinbase, they're IPOing.
Yeah, any thoughts on that? Oh, EOS BTC new all time low. This week, last week.
Anyway. It feels like it could be evergreen content right there.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, so they're IPOing at what, 60 billion?
68.
68 billion?
I don't know
thoughts?
What that means. What's that
thoughts?
Mean? Thoughts? I have no thoughts. THOTS, thoughts.
They're doing a, they're getting all this press for doing an AMA on Reddit instead of a roadshow. Just like, who cares? You know, yeah. Who cares?
Trying to make Coinbase cool is not cool. Coinbase is not cool. Coinbase is just like a VC cockroach motel.
Yes. We you know, they had their chance, they were an early mover, and they just made poor decision after poor decision.
Now they're just going to collect their monies, a lot of them. They're going to get it. Yep. Brian, what's this, Armstrong's his compensation package is extraordinary. Did you see that a couple weeks ago?
I did not.
It's extraordinary. I'll have to look it up. Yeah, they're just going to go get money from the public. I just Googled myself looking for Brian Armstrong.
I think all of the CEO packages are extraordinary. The ATVI, Activision Blizzard CEO, they just announced he's getting $200 million bonus, which is absolutely insane to me.
Yeah, it is. All right, here we go. Coinbase paid CEO Brian Armstrong $60 million in 2020, including $1.8 million for personal security.
Really?
Yep.
That's insane.
Most of the money came from options that were awarded after a $1 million base salary. I think my family's home. My dog's going to start barking. Yeah, so he makes a lot of money.
I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me. He's been out of the game in my mind for many, many years. I wish them all luck. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it. But I think actually a Coinbase IPO, Kraken IPO, will help encourage a BTC ETF, honestly.
Yeah, well, because it'll be lumped into the you know, facade of crypto ETF, like, index. People invest in crypto via Coinbase, which is a derivative of a Bitcoin purchase. You mentioned Kraken. Someone reported that they are looking at a 2022 IPO. What news was there about that?
That's all I heard. I've been hearing rumors of them selling equity for years now to see what Jesse said about the trading stuff that happened a few weeks ago. Again, just shows me that he's just completely out of touch with reality. We talked about that at length a couple shows ago, but I just want a CEO that like gets crypto, understands trading, and isn't just a buffoon, you know?
Wow. Well, sorry. they're getting the rewards, especially being Americans and taking advantage of the public listing opportunities. They're going to do quite well with it. Also, can you talk about the BitThumb acquisition rumor?
Yeah, I think that's confirmed-ish. BitThumb got a bid from Morgan Stanley, of all people, at what, 200 million valuation, I think?
Yeah.
So there, yeah, lots of movers and shakers, M&A going on surrounding legacy people trying to get into the crypto space any way they can.
One of the notes I liked about that was how it's a sign that essentially JP Morgan wouldn't do that without running it past regulators. So regulators know and gave the okay.
That's a good thought. I like that. Yeah, it's just normal. All this stuff we're talking about is just normalizing crypto to legacy people who have all the money. So bring it on. I'm happy. More and more adoption in every sort of avenue that anybody can imagine. Sam introduced a credit card or debit card for FTX this week.
Yeah.
Thought that was kind of interesting.
I'm not quite sure all the dynamics of it, but...
No. Is it even available in the U.S.? I don't even know.
It's in the U.S., which was the important component of it.
Okay. And it's what, through Swipe or something?
Yeah, through Swipe. So that's good news.
Yeah, just, you know, everything, the more the better, literally. Just any news at all just normalizes it, keeps it in the conversation. People talk about, you know, if more people spend it, then that's going to create a selling pressure. And then there's the legacy people who say, like, nobody can spend it. It's not worth anything.
Yeah, it's additional utility and it's minimal selling pressure.
Yeah, so I'm all for it.
Yeah, got access. Binance was also going after the same thing, apparently, and didn't get it yet, even though Binance, I think, might own some or all of Swipe, which is the underlying technology, which is funny. But, yeah. What else are you thinking about?
One other thing I'll bounce back to is the Pi cycle indicator. Really, just all these charts. Like, you don't need any special analysis. Just go into this website, look into Bitcoin.com. Not a sponsor, but again, just look at... Good site, good data. Just do your backtesting yourself, just visually. You know, here are the all-time highs. Here's what it looked like. Here's what it looks like now. It's pretty obvious. We're getting closer, but we're not crossed yet. Here's another one of those signs that we are getting nearer to the end, but not at the end, but definitely worth paying attention to. You know, you can't ignore stuff like this. We can't ignore the Puel multiple, which is at 3, tops out at around 10, gets in trouble at around 7. We can't ignore the MVRV, currently 6, gets in trouble around 8. So all this stuff collectively, you can make fun of me for having fun staying poor, but when all these get topped out, you'll know, it'll be obvious, and retrospectively, you're going to tell yourself, damn, I had a lot of signs there. I should have at least sold something, right?
Yeah. Why don't we finish with kind of the correlation to legacy, Dixie update, S&P. From what I was looking at, the S&P looks kind of like Bitcoin, which is problematic. Like,
yeah, it's scary. I was saying this week on the legacy vids I do that SPX and Dixie, or SPX and NASDAQ. NASDAQ more so looks neutral to bearish. SPX looks not good. Whatever this is, you know, whether it's a broadening wedge or a descending, ascending triangle, inverted descending triangle.
I don't know. Just look, legacy just continues to look heavy to me. Like, yeah. There's this attempt to justify valuations. There's the talk of inflation, which can continue to put buying pressure on stocks because people don't want cash. But there's weakness in tech. The rates are still fighting. Like, you know, they dumped right after Jay Powell was super dovish, by the way, something we didn't really talk about. But everything pumped, and then it kind of faded it over the next however many hours of session.
I was saying Tesla, MSTR, and Square, there's actually this, you can see it on the NDX as well, but there's a inverted head and shoulders fractal building here on the index. So but it could save it. It could save itself.
Could, but it's not confirmed. It's not.
No.
It's not bullish per se. It's like what I see is lower highs, rotation out of tech, rotation out of growth, which is all interesting stuff I've wanted for quite a while in the markets that felt well overdue. But those big caps are such a large percentage of the market overall that it makes it difficult.
Yeah. Some other index that looked troublesome to me was DeFi perp. It either looks head and shoulders-y or whatever it is, it's not bullish. Like, I don't get bullish vibes here. I don't know about you, but
I kind of like that chart.
You like this?
Yeah, like I think the left side's a meme, and I think it's basically just bullish consolidation. Like,
if this breaks up, we're good to go.
But I don't like this as a diamond.
Okay.
Don't like it.
All right. So yeah, legacy doesn't look great to me. Dixie still looks bullish. It didn't really do much. You know, it retraced the J-Power rug completely. It's just a massive mess. I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I still think it's weak, but
yeah.
I mean,
it's
super dumped after J-Power's comments, and then it kind of fought back.
Yeah, it doesn't look as weak as it did, which is,
I think people are sleeping on DeFi a little bit right now, personally. I think this
10 years is,
yeah, anyway. It's a weird grind on yields. Rising yields are a threat, but I think they're starting to get a little weak now too, getting a little bit overdone.
This is my issue with DeFi right now. I know we're bouncing around between
real
and fake stuff like DeFi, but there's this descending triangle double top thing that I do not like on Aave at all. I like, you know, if I can buy Aave at 250, 220, I'm all in Aave at that level. But right now it does not look good to me at all. Mm. Sounds like you like it though.
Yeah. Yeah. I think most DeFi has spent enough time in consolidation now.
Like, but what is the catalyst or impetus? These fees are still a mess. We opened with that. Like,
it doesn't matter.
All right.
It's been consolidating. This is sushi as my kind of permanent example. By the time it got tired, 45 days now in USD relative consolidation for sushi.
Uni looks ready for an all-time high.
Yeah, I'm going to get to uni, but first look at this. The sushi, I've been watching this for a couple of weeks now as it turned from flag to like triangle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that looks real good. You can't, I said this a couple of weeks ago. Any asset class, any chart, I like that chart. Defined.
I like the chart.
Yeah, I like the chart. It's a defined risk profile that I really enjoy. Uni is going nuts today because Hayden, what's his face, said if he has to go another week without releasing Uni 3.0 details, he would lose his mind or something like that, and immediately marked up like 10%. So that's what that's in reference to. I mean, it had no real price discovery when it was supposed to have it, and so it needs to kind of fight back for that. I think DeFi didn't get the markdown that people wanted, but it did get the consolidation that made it painful to hold for almost 2 months, and I think it's going to have another markup cycle here before too long.
Well, even 1 inch is moving. I know you're not a fan of 1 inch, but
yeah,
as a proud holder, I once again say,
I think you should rephrase it to even ZRX is moving.
Is it? I didn't actually look.
Yeah, it's the consolidation has been very painful, I can confirm.
Wow, ZRX and 1 inch look identical. I'm talking identical.
Hold on. Switch back.
To 1 inch?
There's ZRX.
This is ZRX. This is 1 inch.
Yeah, they do. Well, that depresses me.
Lots of correlations between the DEX coins right now, I think.
Yeah. I think they're going to mark up. I really do. I'm getting more hopium in my veins in regard to my bags. It's been painful, man. All these NFT platforms popping off, and I wasn't really in them. I was in Matic, as an example.
How many minutes did we make it? 48 minutes without mentioning NFTs? That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I was in Matic from like 11 cents, and now it's at 40. And I sold it at, I don't know, 12. Like almost immediately, I got scared off by Bitcoin, and then it almost quadrupled. So that was very depressing.
I made the adult decision to mute the phrase NFT on Twitter. I've never been happier. It's really great.
Well, I think the rotation was fully from DeFi to NFTs from a price perspective. I missed all the good NFT plays. But I do think they're going to start rotating back into the DeFi plays. We interviewed Santiago from Parify Capital on Up Only this week, and it was he got me feeling the bull, super bullish on DeFi stuff again. I think they still need to be repriced within crypto market caps.
That's fair.
I don't think the repricing is done internally within crypto. Will it mean that it affects ETH and stuff as well? ETH is consolidated the whole time along with it. I'm pretty bullish. I have hopium in my veins.
Yeah, I mean, if you're bullish BTC, you can't not be bullish everything, right?
Like, yeah.
This stuff isn't going to move.
If BTC, like, super impulses, everything else could lag. Like, people could jump to BTC. That's the threat to all of that DeFi stuff really having big moves, but I think with the amount of consolidation they have, people are antsy for a good reason to pump. And like across these coins, like they're just 2 months of consolidation in a macro super bullish market, in a fundamentally product market fit environment.
You know, another one looks terrible besides Aave is Comp. I think Comp looked convincingly toppy to me. It's curled up since, but there was a real risk that Comp.
These are all one daily either direction, but I lean bullish. I have to be. People asking me about smaller caps, Cream and Rook and others. Well, I'll show them in the after show. Stick to mostly the majors here. But yeah, I'm gonna follow the plan, Josh. I'm gonna follow the plan.
Okay. I'm right there with you. If we curl up everywhere, It's go time.
Yeah, we need to see some volume follow in. Like, looking at Aave, it's got a green candle today, but that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look at this comp volume even. Yeah, it's just straight off a cliff.
Yeah, no volume alongside it. I think if they get the breakup, it'll come. I think it'll pull attention back from some of the NFTs.
I think Dot was actually moving. Dot.
Yeah, Dot was moving fast. I know because Johnny likes to trade it. So here's the thing. I did not make the shift to the NFT layer ones, side chains, whatever, very well. If I had, and I was sitting on that profit, and I was looking at 2 months of DeFi blue chip consolidation, I'd be rotating back. So I missed that whole 3 weeks of moves, whatever it was. If I hadn't missed it, I'd be taking my profits and pulling it back. And I think that's the rotation game that can provide the impulse for the next leg for these DeFi blue chips. So if you made a bunch of money on Matic and Wax and whatever else made the move on the NFT landscape.
What is the SOX chart? Because I saw that drop a bunch today.
Socks is like some kind of NFT meme that you can redeem physical socks, but they're like $60,000 or something. It's one of the most absurd things in the Ethereum landscape.
Right. And I saw that. I saw a chart showing that drop today. So maybe, you know, following your NFT rotation thesis, maybe that's what's going on. I don't know the ticker for it, but.
Yeah, I don't know. There's probably like 17 people that own all those socks. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's how I'm looking at the market personally. I will not get bearish. Today was some kind of quad witching on stocks.
Nothing happened, really.
Nothing happened. It was a pin. Maybe it means there's increased volatility. I think the path of least resistance is up across all markets. It's that thing where it's like everybody's expecting inflation and pricing up of assets, and everybody got their stimmy checks and whatever, and it's like the easiest path is up. We don't have to make it that complicated, Josh.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't fight the trend.
Yeah, EBTC continues to be untradeable. But other than that, yeah, everything looks good. It just takes some time.
Well, with that level of excitement, carry on with the bull market.
my energy level kind of matches what's going on in the market. I don't think I've taken a trade in like 2 weeks, maybe.
I've not either.
Yeah,
I've been working. I've been biddling. What's that called?
Biddling. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I've been busy, but not trading. I really haven't been trading. We'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
Sometimes, no action is the reaction that you need to make. Thanks everybody for joining us. Go to ledgerstatus.com/sets. Check out Token Sets for nice passive strategies. Great partner. Bye-bye.